Oh, it's been Monday crazy.
Too.
Yeah.
All right. We'll call the City of LaPlante Urban Renewal Agency meeting to order Monday, July 16th at 3 p.m. And if we could establish a quorum.
Ann Gaywith.
Vicki Russell.
Craig Heaton.
Connie Breeze. And let's see, Stu Martinez and Dan Varco. Is that the only two that are missing?
Andrea.
Oh, and Andrea. What is her last name?
Hine.
Are absent by prior arrangement. Melissa, you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Melissa. And we added agenda items.
Staff's got a couple that should be fairly quick, but one would be an update on Dan Varco's status on the Urban Renewal Agency Committee. And the second would be a brief discussion on the downtown streets design. ...
All right. Does anybody have any objections to those two added agenda items? Does anyone have any other further added agenda items? All right. I would say public comment, but we have no public in attendance to have comment, so we'll just fly right through to approval of June 6, 2018 meeting minutes.
I move that we approve the meetings from the June 5th, 2018 meeting.
Motion's been...
I'll second.
And second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Right on to discussion on establishing a storefront improvement program criteria and structure.
So, as all of you are aware, we have been talking about this for a little while, at least over the last handful of months, with the students from U of O working on some recommendations, some best practices, sort of setting us in the right direction to a degree, and then also setting aside some dollars in the budget through May and then officially adopting the budget in June. And so we're in July, we're in a new budget year. We've got funds appropriated to create a program and get it off the ground. But we want to get it right, or as much right the first time as possible. So we're going to be talking about this, in my mind, I would assume, over the next at least 2 to 3 months, probably, having some discussion, looking at some of the pros and cons. Staff ultimately will be putting together kind of a recommendation based on all of your input, and then all of you can bless that, and we'll have to actually draft a resolution to formally adopt and create the program. And then tentatively, our goal, and this is, we're again open to all of your feedback, is to try to roll this out over the winter so that next spring and summer there could actually be some construction going on through this program. So we figured sort of a good place to start, it might be a little bit messy, was just to go through some of the other examples of urban renewal agencies that have programs like this and just listen and have a bit of a discussion on things you like, things you don't like. Not, doesn't have to be this specific detail or that specific detail, kind of high level, and then we can work on refining that and trying to put it into an actual program and then go from there. So did everybody have a chance to thumb through the three examples that we provided? We looked at quite a few and we tried to grab some that provided to some degree a range of ways to do it, but I think one thing you probably noticed is that there was some commonality and some themes about how they structure it. And my hunch is that, again, it's, you know, if it's working well in one area, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You can, you know, take and borrow and use what's been successful before. So why don't we just start with any, you know, let's start with Forest Grove and and go through it. If any of you have specific comments or if we want to kind of work through it page by page, I'm open to however you'd like to go about it, if you have any preference.
Well, I do have a second packet. It might be easier on this one to flip back and forth. Just being on the tablet. Thank you.
Yep.
Would anyone like to start on comments on Forest Grove?
I thought it was kind of interesting, the incomplete applications that occurred, because I thought about that and I thought, you know, that's something that... even for employment application, if it's not complete, we give them the opportunity to get it complete, but otherwise we don't move it forward. And so I thought that would be an education process to make sure that we start, when we start this program, that we're really clear that all of the details need to be.
What I found interesting is that was the complaint, is so many of the applications were either not complete or, you know, didn't have basic information. But yet, if you look at the application, the application itself doesn't really lead the person applying to give up that information either.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need, you know, you want to make it as simple as possible. Most of these people have probably never applied for something like this before, and they don't know that we want to know what some of their color options are and what some of the, you know, all these. I think you're going to have to be really specific so that
you are. Well, and I think we need some middle of material. You know, middle of material.
Okay.
So they bring a little board with their materials.
Do
on
a board
it.
Like all architects.
Yeah.
Do.
So you're not, and then that becomes part of our record, because then you have an opportunity to go back, especially as we decide what we're going to do, just like a CCNR, and then you have those materials, so we don't find out that somebody has cut down a tin barn and decided to add their own unique Cascadia element.
Yeah, I think it'll be quite a bit easier when we have because we'll be able to provide them with basically the palette that we've been talking about in the advisory committee. So, and we'll have that in the next 3 months.
But what you do is you have them bring it in, because when we did the design review on the Reed Market project that Vic and I did, you'd be surprised. So the one thing we didn't want was that royal blue. And how many people brought in the royal blue sample, because we had a gray blue, it was a dark blue. But if you have them provide the brand and what it is, then you know exactly, you know, because a lot, you can go get little samples. If they're, you know, if they're gonna do that, then yeah.
So building off a few of the things I've heard, or go ahead.
I was just gonna say that it seems to me that, I guess I think about some of the people aren't going to be like, they're not even going to have a clue the design, the help with design part was the part that I thought that was important that we...
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, and that's tough because time away from staff.
and we're not architects, so how,
right.
So who...
And so is that...
Well,
part of the storefront program is that we do like an allowance for a design time period with a consultant, or
could we interview a handful of there aren't that many in even Bend, a handful of consultants to say this is what we would like to do, and the potential for these people to come to you, I guess, to make a contract for a deal of some kind, some sort of
architect of record.
Yeah, something like that. Because Connie's right. No, people aren't going to know where to
go.
We
do, like, we had a design review committee that even though we owned it, we actually had an architect and we had other people on that. And the architect that did the design, as a matter of fact, I was going to send some of those in just for a business park because that's what we did. But anyway, we had that was one of my questions too. So who's going to, they're going to submit, but is Urban Renewal going to, are we make that decision based on the information we've, so are we going to actually have a little design review committee?
Up front, there has to be like a packet of, you know, where are the architects, what are our building codes, you know, these are things that have to be incorporated with their storefront, you know, provide them with some of the basic information first, you know, and you'll let them know you're going to need this to fill out this form, and, you know, all the blanks have to be filled in.
But I think that's pretty overwhelming too for somebody
first time around, but still.
You know, and not saying that that information shouldn't be provided, but I think that if we have somebody that's serious and is willing to submit an application, maybe it's a two-part process. Like if you're willing to go through this and submit an application, then we will provide assistance like a couple hours with a design professional that will help you kind of wrap your brain around all this stuff.
Depending on the size of the project, the scope of it. There could be money for 2 hours if it's painting and
But knowing that they've made that first step and maybe even required that they've read through the material or, you know, I mean, obviously.
I would be happy to give you the application that we use because Neil Houston, who is an architect in Bend, really worked through that. And Bob Levin was our attorney and we plagiarized so that we...
they all do, but
and so what we did is we looked at a lot of CCNRs and we honed it down to make it simple, but it walks through the steps and we could take what we did and then you guys could look at it and clean that up, but it makes it pretty easy because it goes right down to, you know, your light fixtures and those kinds of things, which we wouldn't need to necessarily do. You know, there's some, but it walked them through step by step. And then we just said, if you brought in a board that had your color palette on and your materials, you could go down and get a foam board and you just glue those on and we put their name on it and we reviewed, and how we did is we just checked off the application, and then if we had a couple of questions then we sent it back. The first view I would suggest without having paying somebody is to actually go through and do a little review before you send it to the next level, because you wouldn't want to pay somebody, you know, $200 and then they're missing 50% of what they need because they're not going to get the benefit of it. You know, if we've allowed, let's say we're going to allow $200 or $100 or something. And then like Neil, he's done lots of those and lots of, you know, yeah. And so he, you know, we go way back together. And so he didn't, you know, we'd sit down and we'd go to design review and he would charge $100, you know, to go through. And then he would say, oh, I don't think, you know, this is too long. This is not, you know, 40% or 60%. And let's do this. Come here, I want you to come back and add a couple of things here. And it was great. But the application, I'll let you guys, I'm happy to share that application because we spent quite a bit of time plagiarizing all of these CCNRs. And so, you know, and then we could probably, you'll read it and look at it and say, this doesn't apply. And we could tweak it around and then go someplace. Because, you know, those are the initial things that we paid a lot of money to have done. And it just sits now in a PDF file because we're done with it, you know? So, but I agree that, you know, it walks them through the steps. And then as we have our criteria, then we apply our criteria to some of those. These are the color palettes. And then you have them bring it in because we had certain colors And then you have them bring in their colors, and then that's when somebody reviews and says, oh, whoops, you know, this is...
But you guys weren't giving them any money. They just had to
they
get your...
They paid us to
do to get your approval.
Yeah,
to
but
build.
So, right.
So it wasn't a grant or a loan program or anything.
No, they paid. And our application fee, a lot of times CC&Rs, you know, that we were cheap. We were...
Sure.
Yeah, we were... We wanted them to build, and we wanted to get on with the process. So those are the things, like, if you...
But I guess what I think is different is that I feel like the people that you're looking at were probably, I don't know, maybe more educated than the people that are going to be coming...
More savvy about what they're
coming,
yeah,
coming forth here. Yeah. I don't know, maybe not, but...
No, a lot of them had never built anything, didn't know. We're choosing. It's a choice, because it's the same thing with our applicants, is it's a choice to upgrade what they have. And so a lot of them had never built anything. So that's what we looked at, is make it easy, make them, you know, it's just like a checklist. You go out to build something, you get a checklist, and you say, I need this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. Same thing when they make an application, you know, for planning.
Yeah, yeah, I think having a checklist of things that they need to have gone through, looked at, submitted.
I've got a few thoughts on a few of those things. First off, we'll absolutely have what's called a pre-app, where someone's interested, they come in, we sit down, and we give them the packet. We give them the standards, we tell them about how this works, what to expect, X, Y, Z. You know, that's probably 30 minutes maybe. Send them on their way. If they're interested, then they move on to the next phase. In terms of, I wonder, again, it's really going to depend applicant to applicant, but in general, I wonder if it makes more sense. Again, this is Urban Renewal Agency dollars. Do we want to, do all of you want to invest in having, knowing what you're going to get at the back end, I guess is what I'm saying. Instead of taking time with applicants up front, they go and work on stuff, they come back, and it's like, eh, it's not really what we wanted, and then staff spends more time working with them, or the review committee, or all of you acting as the review committee says, no, we don't like what you did, so, you know, change this, this, and this, and, or just deny it, I don't know. Or does it make sense to invest in an architect and say, this is, you know, you're kind of controlling the process a little bit more if it's a architect of our choosing, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, I think people having to go to a design consultant or an architect is going to be, it's going to be kind of overwhelming for them, I think, for the most part. And they're going to see that as really expensive as well, though, I mean, if we give them some money toward it.
Yeah, that's one way to do too. So it could either be you reimburse them for the consultant's time, or you pay a consultant for their time to help the applicant, or you have them do it all on their own.
It'd be nice to be able to pave the way a little bit for those people. People that are comfortable with it aren't going to care one way or the other. They know this Neil guy, and they're going to call him and say, hey, this is what we, you know. But the other people that have no idea even who to call, where to start.
I think it has to be set up. So I don't think you can randomly, because you get into, you know, 10 professionals and 10 professional opinions of, you can't deny this because I've built that, you know, I'm sure you hear it. I think we need to say, are we going to have a committee in which for final review that this person is, comes with, you know, we have this person, we hire a person almost like a review committee, because they're going to come for a pre-app, so you're going to walk them through. That was one of our goals, was to walk them through the process with the application, not to make them guess what it was. And, you know, colors, we can do color boards, or we can do
digital,
yeah. Storage
is an issue. Let's do
We can do those kinds of things, as I look at it. But I think if we start sending somebody out to pick their own consultant, it will complicate it for us, and two, think we're going to end up spending more time because every professional that I've worked with has their own opinion. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and remember, this is going to be, this is subject. First off, we're talking about mm-hmm. an aesthetic thing. So mm-hmm. The beauty is going to be in the eye of the beholder. And for this program, you all are the beholders. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe the question to ask, I'm trying to get little kernels of, okay, we're not going to flush out the detail or the exact process, but we generally think we want this, we generally think we want that. Mm-hmm. So in terms of a review committee, do all of you want someone else to be the review committee, or do all of you want to act as the review committee? And when I say review committee, I mean ultimately there's a grant application, a request. They've gone through the final package. It's ready for a blessing. It's going to come to you. You know, you're not going to be critiquing this and that in terms of color and whatnot. I think it's more just overall saying, is this sufficient of these public dollars?
I made an assumption, which is not always the best thing to do, that we probably would be fairly actively involved mm-hmm. as we began this program, because it's our baby.
Yeah, I can't see creating another level, and then puts us in the position of saying, well, okay, these people recommended it, and so we're okay with it. That just doesn't, yeah, I'm with you. That was really the reason I wanted to be involved in this, is to have that.
If it grows large and we need to hire permanent staff, then we probably want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we're not, you know, I jumped ahead a little bit to the, and we don't have to go through them in order necessarily, mm-hmm. whatever works, but I was looking at the Sandy one, and, you know, they established a grant review board, but that was on projects greater than $50,000, and we're not doing any projects greater than $50,000 in the next couple years, at least.
Yeah, we're just not there
or
yet.
Or more, so, Right. Okay. So that simplifies things, you know, then we don't have to start thinking about how to structure a committee and who to get on there and yada, yada, yada. Back to the consultant architecture piece. Let us explore what that process could look like mm-hmm. in terms of getting someone on board and having them kind of on retainer, so that you don't have to, you know, it'd obviously just be billable hours, but at this stage, you know, what would that look like? Would we have to go through a...
That would sure be the simplest thing to do, and then you could just recommend to someone here, you know, this is the guy we've talk to, and he knows, and you want somebody that has a sense of what we're looking for the community, too. And
at the same time, people are going to want the freedom to choose their own person
if they so desire.
I mean, if someone told you you had to use this particular architect, you probably wouldn't be okay with that.
We didn't. What you tell them is there's a design review committee that reviews their application. It isn't we're talking about them asking for money. We're not talking about them having to present an entire building. They're asking us to pay for basically updating, and so everything is pretty well laid out. It's completely different than a brand new building from scratch up that meets the criteria, but we will have the same criteria if we adopt the Cascadia. We most certainly aren't going to want somebody painting, you know, if we choose taupe and they want dark brown. We're going to start to model and mold how we're progressing in the city, as I look at it. I mean, it may be completely different because I've just, you know, as this develops even in my mind, and I've thought about how, you know, the committee of wanting to make sure that as we build codes and we have a plan and we make these changes, I've been really surprised that mutually everybody continues to want to keep the bar high, you know. So that's how I look at it. I think when we lay the colors out, we're going to say, no, you can't paint the front of your building black and you can't put orange trim on it. I mean, it's pretty clear. Here are the colors.
Yeah, it'll be at the board's discretion, but I mean, the thought process in my mind has always been, we're establishing a criteria that will be inserted into our development code, mm-hmm. that new construction will be obligated to
right.
fit within that. Again, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a menu of items for those right. of you who have experienced right. it. So for us, we're thinking that the easiest approach would be to apply that same criteria, that same menu of options to a degree mm-hmm. in this program.
Yeah.
And then they do. They have the freedom to say, well, okay, we want to do this facade improvement. We need to, you know, check these 4 out of 6 boxes or go above and beyond if you want. But those that kind of sets
right.
a minimum.
That's so I think it doesn't, I don't look at that as they have to, we're telling them who they can, you know, who they can go get. But if they bring their board in, because, you know, we did some metal, and so if they bring a board in and they've clipped out a piece of an old barn that isn't, you know, it's real paper thin, then and they want us to give them a grant for that, we can say, no, it doesn't fit in the criteria of what we have. I don't look at it as telling them who to design.
But we were talking about with the design piece. I mean, we were talking about a designer, so I guess.
Yeah.
I think I'm following Corey. I would rather see at least the city to have one reference. This is your architect. This is a consultant. He's available. We think the price, his fee or whatever is reasonable. He knows our design standards. He's available or she's available. You know, I would like to see at least that. And if the store owner or whatever doesn't want to use that person, and we still have our standards.
I think the way we could structure it too is that it's available, it's not a requirement.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
also, if you do choose to use our person,
they know
they've been through this a time or two, but if you engage on this process and a few $100 are spent or whatever the number is within a reasonable amount, we now expect you pending approval of your application, we expect you to move forward on these improvements. If you get this help and then you don't move forward, I don't know if we'd want to be in a position to just say that's just sunk cost and, you know, water under the bridge, or we say you're going to pay us back for that. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. And maybe that's too much in the weeds at this point, but
something we could
talk about,
you know, if you follow through, maybe, you know, that's part of the grant.
Exactly.
And if you back out, you lost a $200 or whatever.
There's your upfront,
yeah.
Yeah. So that puts them a little skinny game, too, I think.
Yeah.
Just to throw another wrench in it.
Oh, go for it. That's what we're doing today.
Some of these things that they come in for are cosmetic. Mm-hmm. So you're talking a building might just want to repaint, maybe put some stone facade on the lower and not go the whole out, but they're still coming more into compliance with our code, dressing up their building.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really need a design person for that. They could have somebody drop the plans for them or just show you a picture and say, we're using this kind of stone, this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so not everybody's probably going to need the design person.
Right. Yes.
Some are just going to be looking for $5,000, $10,000 and say, hey, I want to do this program. I'm going to redo my facade. They don't even have to get a building permit unless they're changing out windows or that. But if they're not, they might just want to take advantage of a lower number, come in and say, hey, I want to do this, and here's what I'm going to use for materials and labor or whatever.
Do they currently have to get approval for paint colors in the city?
No, we don't have. And our new code does not have colors.
We didn't go that far.
Yeah.
Really?
No. It has materials.
I was wondering,
materials.
Considering I've seen two buildings being painted today.
Oh, I do like the new building.
I think it looks great.
Yeah, it looks
but it just made me think. I mean,
we
also have. We
have materials. They have to have a certain amount of percentage of materials, type of materials.
And we don't have colors in the design.
Well, we've got things that all have natural tones to them.
Cascadian.
Rock, wood, metal, those types of things. And when you look at the way the building has to be constructed, I mean, there probably won't be that much room for paint.
Or hot
pink. If you get what I'm saying. It'll be like, you know, the building will look a certain way just based on those materials.
Because I have been... I used to go get my gas right next to the Pretty Pussycat bend, and when they painted it hot pink, and the neighbors were not happy. And Ben does have, like, earth tones is their deal.
Yeah.
which leaves it very open.
Well, yeah,
you know? Something can be brought up.
We're having the open house.
The open house.
Week and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Next week.
I mean, you'd think that most people wouldn't go there, but they people do.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
There's always the neighbor that wants to paint their house purple or something. Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, what's in the code for new construction is one thing. What all of you want this program to be in terms of these discretionary dollars is a whole other thing. So if you want in the program it to say earth tone colors, it can say earth tone colors. Or you could reject a bright pink thing if you want.
I was
going to
say, or you can reject
it. You
yeah,
say,
it's our money.
Thanks,
we're not
but no thanks. You know, we don't consider that based on when we flush out the criteria, and they'll be sufficiently vague, but also specific enough, it'll leave all of you the ability to say, you know, man, this really isn't aesthetically pleasing, even though you might like it.
I think we
almost need a color palette. So
I do so too.
If you're going to start denying something on color, it has to be in black and white.
Or you're giving
money though. This is a different program than our code.
Yeah, this is
someone, this is totally like somebody saying, "I want this money to do this," and you have your full right to say.
Well, you know, this group is liable to change.
Yeah.
You know, one group is saying, "Yeah, we love that color," and the next group, "No, we don't like that color." So
it's just very different between the code update we're doing and requiring every new construction to follow these rules by law in a decision with conditions, or to say, hey, we're offering a program, take it or leave it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to do it, it's going to be on our terms.
That's great, yeah.
So, no, those are good points. Those are really good points.
There would be some consistency, you know, throughout whoever's on the final deciding whether you're going to use this color or that color or material.
I think after we have the design standards, you know, so in a few months when we're at that point, kind of putting the final touches on this program, there will be room for more conversations like that.
The so other, besides the, go ahead.
Well, the other piece of I had a question about is the wanting two or three bids, requiring that that there be multiple bids, and but then it doesn't say, you know, what they're going to do with those bids. You just have to get them. They don't require you to take the lowest one, apparently, or what does the design, what does the committee do with that information? I mean, it doesn't follow through. They just require it.
I think it's to show that the work they're wanting to do is actually within the range of money they're asking. So you get three bids, and they look at them and say, oh, yeah, they all say 70, 75, 72. So what you're asking for, your $73,500 or whatever, you know, as an example, is valid. Is what they're doing.
I think, yeah.
Just so you're not asking for $50,000 and doing $5,000 worth of work, is what it is. Doesn't mean you have to do that. That was just one city, but yeah, that's what they're asking or what they're doing with that.
They said that was the validation.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and those are some of the details that we will take some time talking with our legal counsel about, and just understanding the nuance of if we're contributing dollars to a project, you know, it's not a public project, so it's not subject to necessarily the public contracting code. We just need to get some exact clarity on that. One of the things we're going to be doing over the next, you know, month or two as we start this process is looking at all of these are kind of the front side documents, right? Mm-hmm. This is the what we give to the public, what they fill out, what you use to track something through the program being up and running. We're going to get our hands on the behind the scenes documents, the resolutions, the ordinances, the, you know, if there are contract documents, hopefully things like that, so that we don't have to build it from scratch again. We can take things that have already been used and change some stuff and roll it out. So that's something we're already, just so you know, we're already going to be starting that process. You'll see those when the time comes as well. I think, so let's see here. So keep it simple. On the incomplete applications, I guess I just missed it real briefly. Work with them to get the incomplete applications finished, stamped, and then move it forward, but it's not a, you know, reject it automatically or whatever.
Well, I mean, there's a certain amount of hand-holding, but I mean, you obviously, you know, if they want $1,500 when you're spending a week with another Slenders.
Yeah,
something
yeah.
Something wrong, yeah. Understandable. <You know. laughs> Okay, that yeah, makes sense. That's specific. What other, like, kind of decision points or larger pieces of the programs jumped out in terms of you liked it, you didn't like it, this concerned you, this excited you?
As we move along, the percentage of our, you know, can they apply for 100%? Can they apply for 50%?
Yeah.
Do we offer, do we say as the Urban Renewal Committee that we would be willing to set aside $10,000, and in that $10,000 we would give four $2,500 grants without requiring,
sure.
What I'm saying, just
right.
You know,
right.
Just throwing that out.
Well, I like the tiered approach that
the ratios.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beaverton. Yeah, they have level one and level two grants.
That was the Beaverton one.
Yeah,
and the ratios was in the Forest Grove one.
Which had like 3 tiers of
right.
Yeah.
And so I think as when we do that to start our program, we really will have to come up. They have, like Beaverton had a maximum grant of $35,000. Well, if we set aside $50,000, what is going to be our maximum grant? I think those will be some things
mm-hmm.
we'll have to decide
mm-hmm.
before we
definitely.
Start the our program.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to leverage that 50 to 100, then do we go 50-50 with them? Or the of the 50,000, 10,000 we can... give them, and then we will run into that criteria about the bids, because if you somebody says, oh, I can do it, you know, I'm pretty handy, but I am not a painter, I mean, you know, so at all,
yeah,
it would be a disaster to give me $2,500 to paint anything, even my dog's house.
And I think there's little things that we'll incorporate in
know.
As well, and
yeah.
Not that anybody who has a business license that's a painter is a good painter.
Right.
But, you know, there will be requirements like that, that whoever's performing the work needs a valid city business license,
yes.
And et cetera, et cetera. You know, those kind of things, checks and
CCB
balances.
License.
Yeah.
Yeah, CCB.
And City of
yeah.
Lapine, if they're going to work
that's
in the
said,
city.
Yeah. Business
yeah.
license.
Yeah. Business
license.
Yeah.
Yeah. Business license, CCB,
yeah.
Yeah.
So on the question of divvying up the money again, we can have lots of good conversations on those details. As we flesh this out a little bit more, maybe zooming up to that 30,000 foot level, what are your thoughts at this point, rolling it out in a pilot project? Do we want to go straight to all grant? Do we want to go forgivable loan? Do you want some basic parameters? Do you want multiple tiers? You know, small tiers, given that we don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars going into this program right now. A little direction on that would be helpful.
I like the
good,
idea.
Good, you're all
tough question.
Yeah, I like the idea of the little bit of skin in the game. I do,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I have a hard time giving up 100%.
Yeah, there's.
Yeah.
I
can't
see.
And so I look at that, and then that's what we would have to. And I think we want to be flexible enough. So let's say we decide, you know, if we were going to do 20 projects, well, we're probably not going to get 20 applications. So we want this to make the impact, you know, in the beginning. I think we're going to have to kind of evaluate that a little bit and then see, you know, so we can be flexible in that with the applicants.
What was our budget that we put for this? For the
I
first?
Knew someone was going to ask me that.
Yeah.
I was going to say it was 40.
40.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah,
yeah.
I was
pretty
remember.
Confident.
Too many budget meetings.
Yeah, and it's been just long enough for me to
I think
be like,
it's 40.
I'm pretty. You know, pretty confident.
Well, I wondered if we wouldn't want to do an open house to roll out the program.
Oh, definitely. This is going
to
take some promotion.
Invite people
yeah.
to, you know, invite all the business owners to come down and even possibly have an idea of what those, if we decide to do tiers, like what those look like, you know. A $25,000 or $2,500 grant could include paint and...
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think maybe when we...
I don't know.
Some when we rolled out the Lapine logo, we started at the Chamber Breakfast because you have, you know, usually 100 to 150 people there and their business...
And business owners.
Right.
Business owners. And that's a really good place to start.
So you're saying to promote the program, not to get input on the program creation, on creating.
Yeah, I think promoting the program itself. I don't know about.
I think you all are
know.
The.
I don't know about input.
Okay.
I think so much of it is pretty cut and dried, as we see, you know, so many commonalities. So there are things that will just be in there.
Yeah.
No
and
matter what.
I wonder about doing it something at the Chamber Breakfast and. Because there's only a certain number of businesses that are in the Urban Renewal District, right? I mean...
Correct.
You know,
oh, well, there's
so
that.
So
yeah.
You do it at the Chamber
too.
Breakfast, and and you're like, no, I'm sorry.
The greater portion of them, I think, are in the Urban Renewal
And I
district.
Think also
I mean, really,
you want that, you want the buzz.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to do this,
you
we
want
the
buzz.
You know, they might say, you take a Kathy DeBone, and, you know, she's going to say, oh, you want to fix that up? Well, you know, here's this program.
Right.
You want to do this, you know. And so that's how I look at it,
yeah.
The buzz. Yeah, because just like, you know, the pine cone, they, you know, we rolled it out, and there it was, and it was, you know, it was there. You know, we came in our t-shirts and I guess we could wear color boards.
These are your choices.
Go right
choose
ahead.
Wisely.
Go right ahead. Oh, no fun. No, but anyway, it at least would get the word out pretty well.
I'd say a portion of the people that attend are going to be within the district.
So that's all... really good stuff, and I agree on rolling it out. It's going to take a lot of effort to get
yes,
it. I think it's good to be optimistic to think that people are going to want to take advantage of this. I just think about the people who haven't painted their building in the last 10 years. They probably haven't done it because they can't afford 4 cans of paint. They're just busy with life, or they didn't realize that they needed a new coat of paint, or who knows.
Not the kind of their mindset.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to put this in front of them,
mm-hmm.
make it easy,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
So in terms of like contribution, what do you and again, we might get 2 applicants. We might be like pulling teeth. I don't know. I mean, we don't know. So
I think we should kind of go for one bigger one and a couple smaller ones.
What about this is the Forest Grove one. I'm looking at the city contribution on the top of page. It's like it's 5. They have it broken out where, you know, up to $2,500 grant is a 2-to-1 ratio. Basically, it's saying the more skin you put in the game,
mm-hmm.
the more skin we're going to put in the game.
Mm-hmm. Staff,
right.
Staff is going away from that.
Staff's proposing a flat 1-to-1 ratio
because
for any grant amount to
So they were.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah. There must have been some challenges with them trying to.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, getting some direction on that would be.
Although Beaverton has those too, I mean that seems. I mean,
two
I think
three.
Keeping it simple rather than, I think that's where probably Forest Grove got. Beaverton's got the 2 that are pretty. I was doing what kind of Ann said, breaking it out of minor projects such as paint, new signage only, major projects such as window signs.
So it depends,
depending
on what you're doing, what category of improvements you're making.
That could be something we want to talk about, you know. Are we willing to give $5,000 to a business that really wants to paint and really, I'm just throwing numbers at you, that really wants to work on the facade a little bit and then based on the criteria of what we decided, maybe we have the application, I don't know, but if somebody wants window signs, we may not want to do $5,000. You know, we can maybe set some criteria there too.
Maybe a level of impact or something like that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, we're talking and thinking out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the idea of minor projects versus major projects, almost like if you would actually need a permit or if you wouldn't is
right.
a good one, maybe.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good level.
I'm thinking
yeah.
we are in minor projects. You know, if somebody wants to paint their whole building, not probably.
Well, storefront.
Yes, storefront. It's going to be.
We can work with the county on kind of understanding what items would trigger
structural.
A
windows,
permit
new
and
windows.
Some major
cosmetic stuff now.
Yeah,
I could,
what's that? Actually?
So I could think of a building because we've had this discussion. Look at the Habitat Restore. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a great building to get painted and get the door done and painted and really the railing and stuff even on the front, you know, and then that might motivate them to do some dollars on the side and stuff. But that building, I just think of it because it's like somebody burned it for it's
the sun.
It's got that brown burned wood, you know. So I look at that and think, wow, that could make some real impact, you know, if you did something like that. That, you know, so somebody applied and that would be good, but.
Do we have the option of changing the grant levels?
Oh yeah, you have the option to change anything, pretty much.
Well, I wonder.
Could we, you know, just say 50-50 for the first year and see what happens?
So $1 to $1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's simple.
See what happens. You know,
unless you were trying to incentivize more.
That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. So then if they make the application, and what if they came in and said, I wanted to do this and I have no money, and we say, can you come up with $1,000 and can you come up with 20% of 5,000? I'm using 5,000.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll go back, you know, we have to review it again, especially to start in the beginning.
You know what, I would like to see the first one really succeed.
Yes.
We have 40,000 to work with, we think.
I think it'll be hard for us to expend all 40,000 of that by the end of this fiscal year, and
well,
so
yeah,
where I'm going, that
end,
it'll just
next
roll
fiscal
over.
Year,
it'll
right?
just,
yeah.
it'll, you know, you'll start to
yeah.
build up a pool of to get this. That way, I think we kind of have the seed money to get the program ready to roll.
I think if we promote it, it's not. I think we could go through the money.
Well, if you think of yeah, no,
you think so too, Melissa?
Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah,
I do.
I think you gave one good big project, and they could. Somebody might already have remodel in their mind and come in and go, oh, here we go. I'm gonna go.
And
if you
I
think about $10,000, you know, so if you did four, it'd be like four $20,000
mm-hmm.
renovations, which is
yeah.
that's
yeah. substantial.
That's pretty, yeah.
And the other
going.
Thing
yeah.
is,
yeah.
yeah. No, well, again, that's what
it's first come, first serve.
And stone and wood is not cheap.
Yeah.
And we need to set aside some money that we have some really good signs or banners. On anything that's major, that
oh,
to advertise that the dollars were
oh,
used
yeah.
with
yeah.
Urban Renewal.
Yeah.
Urban
yeah.
Renewal
sure.
and
yeah.
Pays to advertise.
Yeah, so that would be, you know, that's probably like a banner's about $75. So you have, you know, so I just think those are some of the pieces that we definitely need
yeah.
to do. Because you go down, and again, I'm using Restore just because it's just.
I know somebody on the board.
I know. Well, I've been after them, you know, to, and I think they're just pulling the store together so
no,
much. Yeah. But anyway, it's, you know, and you get a place like that and somebody sees, oh my gosh, you know, I told them, get all the paint you've got and put it in a bucket.
put it all together. We've done that many times. You'll never have that color.
I probably should have mentioned this. I have a 4:30 dentist appointment. It's right across the street, but I figured an hour and a half would be plenty for our meeting, so I didn't have to worry about it. But
so,
I want to make sure that we cover everything that we need to.
I feel like we've gotten a lot of good direction and feedback so that when we put together the draft for all of you to chew on at the next meeting, we can have some things kind of laid out. One piece that I wanted to get your input on was we are doing, remember we set aside dollars for those minor enhancements as well.
Mm-hmm.
The safety and the beautification piece are both at the same time, ideally. One of the, in the Forest Grove presentation, one of the things they were looking at was clarify that streetscape improvements adjacent to the right-of-way are eligible.
Yeah.
Is there, you know, obviously a storefront improvement program deals with private property, it's the building, and that's where it ends. And it gets a lot more expensive if you start talking about doing a sidewalk project.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm just, on the face of it, is that something we want to even put our toe into right now or not? Does that make sense?
Well, I think we better, well, let's see, the streetscapes. Wow. I think if we stay at the storefront, but what if somebody wants to add a little bit of landscaping or something, you know, do we?
Yeah, what if it's one of the businesses on the other side of the street that isn't getting all this new stuff this year and they would like to do something similar but don't have the money for it?
That's a good question.
Or, you know, the other thing I look at is so the building owner's willing to put in 50% of the money to do this improvement, but their sidewalks out front are crap.
Well,
or they don't have any.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, and so.
What does that look like?
Yeah. That's kind of where I saw the money going. Is like, you know, we're trying to encourage people to come to our business, yet this is, they can't really walk there safely, or you know.
But at $6 a square foot or $10 a square foot, you know, $2,500 or $3,000, there's not going to be a lot of improvement.
A lot of sidewalk.
No, but I think if you're doing a building and then you're doing the sidewalk in front of it, it's going to be noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah,
I mean,
you know, okay, we're doing the whole sidewalk on the west side of 97.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody on the east side has got to wonder, you know, when are we next?
When do we get ours? Yeah.
But, you know, do I do mine now and have to tear it out a couple of years from now? Because it doesn't match.
Well,
what's
it would
going
have
in.
To, yeah, it would have to meet some sort of.
It, yeah,
well,
I mean,
standard,
it,
so
yeah,
that
it'd be kind of hard to do piecemeal in that long of a run. But
yeah.
So let's table that.
Your question was, do I take that out? I
and
think.
That'll tie in with one of the added agenda items, actually.
Yeah.
So let's route it through that discussion for now. Any other kind of, again, high level, quick first impressions on some of the materials we shared with you? Anything we didn't leave out? Anything you really want us to be aware of as we start putting some time and energy into sketching out what our program's going to look like?
Maybe if their improvement includes some sort of safety element to it, lighting, that we, you know, give them a priority or a bonus or something,
or,
you know,
some sort of access ramp, that sort of thing.
Something that, yeah, that's something that's safety. You know, I think too. I think it was the student's presentation where they showed it was an alleyway that was really dark and they ended up making it a fun little bright usable alleyway versus, you know, and to me that would be like, ooh, I'd probably give them kudos above somebody, you know, something else maybe because.
Oh, and it might make other businesses more aware of those things.
Sure.
It's always interesting to, I mentioned to my brother-in-law and my mother-in-law all the weird signs and DT satellites and all of that, and it never occurred to them that that was strange. I said, you don't think it's strange on a business to have 42 flags?
All these swooper flags.
See, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Any other on the design that we can think of? Something that jumped out at us? No.
I'll be happy to share. I'll send it to Corey. You can take a quick look, and then if we want to send it out via PDF, and we can send it out after, you know, after you take a look or something. And,
yeah. No, that sounds good. So what we can do is we'll continue to kind of mine other organizations, look back on the work the students did, come up with some stuff, some more stuff for you guys all to look at, and then we can start to put together some of these documents, just high level again, but just to organize some of the information so that when we come back to you every time, we're making a little bit of progress.
Right.
And by November, we should be in good shape.
I think too, when we get into the bids, you know, they use two bids mm-hmm. for 5,000 less three. I think we want to probably lay that out really carefully that, you know, these are public dollars, and
these are
required, and mm-hmm. and so I think, you know, your taxpaying dollars are helping promote this program, and I think if we do it really clearly, then
we have to verify that, you know, that's a legitimate bid,
mm-hmm. yes.
and the work was done.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Big time. Yeah. One thing you will start to see change, whether it's at regular meetings or certainly at, say, budget committee meetings, even though we didn't really see it this last year, is I would at least expect more involvement, you know, mm-hmm. and that could be positive or it could be scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we just want to obviously, of course, understand mm-hmm. what we're doing and why we're doing it and when we're doing it and how we're doing it.
I thought it was interesting with the public comment that we had when we were working on the budget, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he said, oh, you guys have a handle on what you're doing. Like, and that would be, that's part of the scrutiny. Oh, you don't have a handle on what you're doing. You're just gonna take all these dollars and do whatever, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's
all right, on to other matters then. The first item for discussion is the status on Dan Barker's participation on the board.
Yeah, so Dan's not here today. He's going through some personal health challenges in particular, and he let me know earlier today that he is going to step back, which I think we kind of saw that coming. You know, we wish him the best for sure, but he was gone for the winter, and then with the health stuff, it's been a little while. So he's gonna step back. We're going to have a vacancy, and we'll get some advertisements out in terms of letting people know that this opening's available and what the requirements are, and depending on how much interest we get, it could take not very long, it could take a little while. Do you all want to set any kind of trigger in the sense of let's leave it open for a month and see who we get, let's wait until we get three applicants, do you get what I'm saying? Do we want to set some kind of parameter and then say, let's see where we're at this point? Or
when's our next meeting?
Second Tuesday of next month.
Second Tuesday.
Isn't that right? No, first Tuesday.
First Tuesday.
First Tuesday. And we rescheduled this one. Right?
Mm-hmm. So that is like August 7th. Yeah.
So what we could do is we could just leave it open until before the September meeting.
I think that's a good idea.
Oh, hello. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
I was just coming to listen in and chat with some of you guys afterwards.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm a little
welcome.
Late.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
So we could set it for just leaving it open until basically the week before the September meeting.
Sounds good.
And see, and then if someone submits next week, we just say, we're just holding this for a month, and then if anyone else submits, and then all of you can review at that point, and we can invite them to come here, and you make a decision.
Okay.
Does
sounds
that work?
Good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Do we want to also take a look at setting some criteria on times people miss and how we're going to handle that so that we can, it's
in the bylaws.
So
I think it's more just a matter of the board really enforcing that or understanding where and when you want to draw the line.
I just, as we get more active, I just I'm concerned that we have participation.
Yeah.
You know, it makes for healthier conversations. Mm-hmm. And
what I would encourage all of you to do is obviously monitor that and let me know how you're feeling and be open and honest at the table with each other, and kind of, I'd say, just take it on a case-by-case basis given what's written in the bylaws. It gives you the ability to take action if you need it, but it doesn't, you know, I think the case-by-case basis is probably the best approach.
Right.
Obviously this instance played out for a while.
Right. Right. Okay. And the other matter up for discussion is downtown streets design.
Yeah, so obviously we've been talking a lot about storefront improvements, so improvements on private property, but we've also been understanding that, as we talked about with the minor enhancements piece, that an improvement on a private property, if the adjacent right-of-way, if there's no sidewalk, if there's no streetscape, if there's no crosswalk, no lighting, etc., it doesn't look as, it's not a complete package. So we are focusing on, with the downtown design standards, we're focusing on the downtown core and putting in place those design standards, and focusing on really Huntington and Morrison as the two main streets, north-south main streets in the downtown area. And what we've been talking about a lot, and Melissa's been saying it almost since day one that she's been here, so 6 months, is that we really need to understand what is that downtown area in terms of what's in the right of way. What's that going to look like in the long term? What's that end goal? We don't really have that right now. We have a TSP cross section, but it doesn't work as well as it should in terms of really looking at intersections and specific pieces of this and that, and how's it all fit together in the end. And once we have that, it might take a while to get there, but urban renewal dollars could help pay for that, city could help pay for that, we could get it in our development code so that when new buildings are built, that's what they're constructing, create some programs and some partnerships to incentivize it, all that good stuff. So where we're going with this, and part of why we're asking urban renewals, because urban renewal is focused on downtown, but also because there's a couple council members here and a couple community members here, kind of two birds with one stone a little bit for some feedback, is how important do you think that is to get in place? We have a few things going on. We're kind of busy. That's what Melissa and I were talking about this morning and saying, okay, we would love to have this, but how big of a project is that? And how much money would that cost? And who should pay for it? Maybe it could be some city dollars and some urban renewal dollars. Maybe it's all city, maybe it's all urban renewal. I think some combination probably makes sense. But to think about that process, and then not only the dollars, but also the level of public involvement. How much public involvement are we looking at? Because if you add quite a few layers of public involvement, your 3-month process just turned into a 6 or a 9-month process. Okay. And a big commitment of time. So the last piece I'll say is, so you can do kind of the all-in approach, and then really the question is just, when do you start it? You know, do we start it? I'm gonna not recommend now, you know, 3 months from now. Or do you try to take it, and this would be, I don't know how this would look, but do you try to take it piecemeal, where you say, we're gonna look at these two blocks, and we're gonna kind of do it ad hoc, and then we're gonna move on to the next piece. But that gets the ball rolling sooner, I guess.
So my thoughts, question to you is, so we go through all of the codes and we implement the codes, we have public input, you know.
With the TGM stuff?
Yeah, with the TGM.
Okay.
And somebody comes in and they want to build. So that forces the issue right then and there.
You're reading my, that's where
you
I'm coming from.
You can only apply,
right.
Melissa can only put in a land use decision what is in our TSP.
What you have. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Which kind of has it as an arterial, fast moving, kind of not downtownish look.
Not focused
right.
on pedestrians as much as our code changes are
no
focused
safety.
On pedestrians. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you did an ad hoc or you took a concentrated two blocks, with the caveat that that the extension to this area is part of that, you're the ones that ultimately, I mean, are going to say, you know, the dollars. We could say, oh yeah, next year we'll commit a percentage of dollars, and but ultimately it is going to come back to staff, as I see it. But if we started small with the caveat that this is our program, this is where we're moving, this is the direction. So somebody buys here, you can say we have this criteria is moving into mm-hmm. place.
And probably that would make you more comfortable in your decision making if there was some things started with, like Vicki says, the caveat.
Back and forth.
Yeah, it would be tricky.
Here's the tough part too. I'm sorry to cut you off on that one. Is that if we do the ad hoc pieces, that helps us know what we want it to look like, but it's not, we then ultimately will have to amend our TSP to get that in there. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to amend it every 2 months as we take two blocks.
So.
I know.
Okay. Ask the question clearly.
Okay. Here's the question. As the Urban Renewal Board, do you want to, I'm not asking for an amount, do you want to contribute dollars towards a downtown streetscape plan?
I think it fits right in with what we talked about originally.
Didn't we have some of that done through the downtown?
My mind's going back to this. Yeah.
The downtown. We've done so many things.
Yeah. Downtown. What was it called?
The Sarah report from a few years ago.
Sarah report. I mean,
that rolled into TGM.
Main Street.
Oregon Main. Yeah,
we have. Oregon Main Street one that I'm thinking of? I don't remember.
There are definitely some grant dollars that would be out there, you know, for us to get, but. It's really going to come down. I think we all agree, and even with TGM, that we want a very clear and concise plan moving forward.
Okay, level of public involvement, low, medium, or high?
Low.
Public low.
I think you have your...
You're saying streets itself. No.
We're talking about public improvement, streetscape.
Imagine walking in any downtown in any other city and what that looks like and what that feels like.
Well, just like the ODOT. I mean, we've rolled it out to them that this is what is happening, but how would...
Which part?
With the ODOT grants and everything coming in, how would you like it at First Street if I wanted... apple blossom trees and I got 10 people to tell you.
It's a process.
I know.
I get that.
I mean, saying, and when I say low, I'm not saying no involvement.
Sure.
I'm just saying we should set the criteria then you have flexibility in that from some of the input, but everybody has, then you get into...
Okay, let's hear from
you. That makes sense.
No, I agree.
What do you think?
Well, what you say makes sense. Maybe my thought is, up to a point, because you don't want to make it. It could be totally unwieldy if you have too many people with too many ideas. So, low is probably what works if you...
Some more on concept and not necessarily on design
details.
Craig, what do you think?
Low.
So willing to contribute some dollars, keep it somewhat of an expedited process, not rushed, but just not a year-long thing.
And we don't expect you to start tomorrow.
And don't start tomorrow. So find a way to get it done.
Can you start on Monday?
That's a week.
Melissa's excited, and I think so. What we're trying to do is find a way to, of course, fund it in this budget year, but then also line it up with what we have going on. So on the face of it, what I'm hearing is that we realistically could probably be kicking this off in the beginning of 2019. Let's put it that way. We got to get the TGM thing off our plate. Let's get this program, the storefront improvement program, essentially up and ready to be rolled out. The Wickiup Junction refinement plan is going to start early 19, and then we could also do a downtown streets starting in 19.
That's
and those would be our planning projects for probably the next 6 to 12 months.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to clarify, I'm not saying I don't want any public involvement at all. I mean, I think it's important that the public does see it and they do talk through it, because that's when you find out your little issues. Like, hey, what about my parking here? Or am I gonna have a loan? I mean, those are important to me, and that would be important in the design. So just want to make that clear.
No.
not against public involvement.
Right.
Oh, and I am not either. I just think realistically, you have to
get something
along
to put in front of them as a design. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And we've been doing a lot of public.
We will.
We will do a lot more.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to public comment. You're only public in attendance.
Public comment.
Staff comments.
Do you have anything, Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
No. I think we covered a lot of good ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I have anything else that needs to be mentioned at this point. And we've got our marching orders and our priority, and really it's just focusing on the storefront improvement program and the vacancy, and then putting that other piece kind of on the back burner for the next few months. So if any of you ever want to, you know, talk more about the urban renewal agency or whatnot. Actually, I did think of something perfect. I knew if I just start keep talking long enough, it's a legitimate thing. The goal setting, priority setting, process, what that looks like, when we do it, do we wanna do that sooner rather than later? And I'm talking kind of bigger, overarching type things. Do we wanna do that? My recommendation might be to get through the storefront improvement program, and then let's do it maybe at the beginning of 19.
I'm gonna go with that, because we're gonna have two new councilors, positions that are actually on the council on this board that are going to be changing over potentially
different
at the beginning of 2019.
Yeah.
And because of elections and everything, I think that starting out with priorities after the first of the year would probably be, and you know, maybe even
overview.
Yeah,
exactly. I think also will help us as we get through this develop some of our goals.
Mm-hmm. We might be able to see some public, how much public interest we're going to have on the storefront loan program too, how much more we want to dedicate or less we want to dedicate towards that, and some of that.
Great. I don't have to think about that one for a little while.
Drop the hook for a bit.
Got it.
Any staff comments? Okay. Holly. board member comments.
None other than I'm glad we're moving forward with this, that we're actually going to have some money to show that we're, you know, spending, that we're not just collecting it all. I think it's going to make us look good. Well, you know, the whole collecting piece is kind of a bone of contention, so it'll be nice to see, be able to put it back.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Good, productive meeting. I'm seeing progress, and looking forward to see some storefronts.
Yeah. Ultimately, that's going to be the best part.
Vicki?
I think we are having very productive meetings. You know, I think we are really moving forward. Thank you. Staff and this committee is really, it's enjoyable. It's you can really start to see the pieces come together.
My only comment is is actually what I was going to talk to you about before the meeting, but League of Oregon Cities Urban Renewal Conference, you did not sign up for. Are you not attending that?
Do you want that one, or do you want the
I don't think you can go to the manager's workshop and that one.
Oh, you can't go. Oh, and what did we say?
I
was going to take it, or you were going to take it?
Well, if you're not going to do Urban Renewal, I will. That's why I brought it up. Housing.
Do you want me to do Urban Renewal?
Yeah, why don't you do Urban Renewal, you do Housing, and I'll do the Manager's Workshop.
Okay.
Does that work?
That's fine. I just wanted, I really felt with us stepping more into this process that somebody should go to
that. Thank you for catching that.
So,
that.
Yeah, I
okay.
noticed in Holly's report to us that nobody was signed up. So.
You get right in there. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Other than that, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Cool.
Honey, thanks for keeping us all on task.
That was efficient. Nice work.
Yeah.
Thursday, I believe.
It's not during the planning director meeting.
I think it might be.
I still don't know when the planning director's meeting is.
I'll have to go look at my thing. It's kind of a secret thing. It just showed up on the one thing, and then there's like no fee or anything. I'm just going to show up and crash it. So. Unless I'm going to Urban Renew.
Come to a Lapine Urban Renewal meeting.
I am.
We're on the map.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I was late.
Oh, no worries.
You missed all the good stuff.
I know, and I wanted to hear about the storefront stuff. That's what I'm really
happy. We'll be talking about that a lot.
Okay, good.
Few months.
Yeah.
Good. So
yeah.
You'll have.
Go right again.
Good. Okay.
Very cool.
So you mind if I grab a quick interview?
Go for it. Sure.
I don't know if does anybody else want to go on?
Yeah, please.
Just
I'm
go
happy
right ahead.
To.
Lady in
red.
Yeah, you're
good job, Maria.